Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Let's welcome in Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. He is in Detroit at this hour after another Patriots loss. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Greg.
Greg, what stands out to you about the Patriots over the last 2 weeks as the biggest concern that may be the hardest thing to maybe overcome going forward?
I would say the number one thing, if you're asking me to pick one thing, it would be that they can't cover anybody man-to-man in the middle of the field. I mean, because, you know, this is something that we dealt with last season with this team that, you know, we were like, how come Matt Patricia isn't going man-to-man? How come they're playing so much zone? Well, it's because Matt Patricia knew his linebackers couldn't play man-to-man, and he didn't want to leave them out there on an island, because if you play man-to-man on the outside, you pretty much have to play man-to-man across the board. And I just think that they are, you know, they're incapable of it. I mean, there are so many things. I mean, I would say a number two thing would be that they can't stop the run at all. I mean, you know, it was obvious that Matt Patricia didn't think any of the upgrades in the offseason were upgrades, because they just pummeled the Patriots at the point of attack, especially Malcolm Brown. It looked like Matt Patricia doesn't think Malcolm Brown can play at all, because they just ran over him all game. And then the other thing is, but the third thing would be, and this could get better with Julian Edelman coming back in another 2 weeks, Josh Gordon hopefully getting into the mix, is that nobody gets open, and they're just, everyone's clamping down on Gronk, and nobody can get off man coverage, and Brady has nobody to throw to. So three pretty much epic disasters at this point in the season.
And with Dante Hightower, Greg, I mean, you were on him in the preseason and said, you know, he just looked slow. He looked off. I mean, have you dug a little bit deeper here? Is it an injury thing with him? Is it just age? Is it just, you know, he's fallen off a cliff overnight? What's the issue with Hightower?
Yeah, I talked to him in the locker room on Friday about it, and he was refreshingly somewhat honest. I mean, he wasn't going to tell me specifically what it was, but in generalities, he basically confirmed that he has a chronic right knee injury that, and even Doc Flynn at our site says that there is some hope that it will improve over time. But right now it's not very good, and he just shelled himself. I mean, that Dante Hightower is coming off on third downs just shows you the fall that he's had from being the preeminent playmaker on this defense to a guy the Patriots can't even have on the field when you need a play, the down where you need to play the most. Dante Hightower's coming off the field for Cyrus Jones.
Man, he had that play tonight where Kerryon Johnson ran around him. That I thought
he like swiped at him like a cat.
I thought, wow, this is worse than any other play we've seen from him to this point. And it's one of those just hideous plays that leaves a lasting image in your mind. And I just can this guy play anymore?
I know, and it's sad, because you know the player that he can be, you know, that the plays that he made in Super Bowls, how many big games has he made plays in over the years when he's been healthy, and just, you know, now he's to the point where you have to wonder how much he gets on the field at all. I mean, right now he's a two-down linebacker against running teams, and even that's not helping, because the guys up front aren't taking up blockers, aren't holding up against double teams, and the linebackers are getting swarmed also.
You know, after the game, I know that Daron Harmon may have had some comments about it, but what happened on that touchdown? Because it was not Stephon Gilmore on that play. He was there when Marvin Jones caught the 33-yard touchdown, but did you happen to see what maybe the mix-up was there in coverage?
Yeah, it looked like the Patriots were playing some sort of version of, you know, cover three. I mean, some sort of mix between man and also zone. And Harmon owned up to it after the game, said there was a communication error. It was his mistake. You know, basically, you know, that Gilmore has the deep third to that side. But once a guy goes vertical across the field, then he should pass that off to the deep safety. And Harmon, I don't know, he just wasn't paying attention or was worried about maybe Golden Tate or somebody else. But, you know, to me, that was a Matt Patricia special where, you know, they were saving it for a big spot where Matt Patricia is just like, you know, he knows those guys inside and out. And you could tell this game plan was just aimed at every single little weakness that all these players on defense have collectively. And you know that Matt Patricia was like, all right, when we need a play, go to this, because they just could not get this right no matter how many times they drilled it. They always had communication problems, like something like that, because it was easy money for the Lions in a big spot.
What did you make of some of the play calling, specifically offensively, from Josh McDaniels trying to establish the run, third and one, handing off to Sony Michel a couple of times?
Yeah, I don't like it, but, you know, Murray, that to me reflects where they think they are in the passing game and with the weapons and, you know, whether anybody's going to be open. I mean, they can't, outside of like James White, maybe out of the backfield, there's nobody that they can say, okay, if we do this, this guy's going to be open. Like, you know, an Edelman or Danny Amendola, like special option route in the middle of the field. Like they don't have anybody that can do that right now. So, I think that's a sign that McDaniels and Brady, they just don't know how they're going to convert third downs or big plays. I mean, I hate them. I mean, I hate, you know, rushing up to the line. You know, a lot of times those aren't successful. I mean, it's just, they're just scuffling right now, and they got, you know, they're at the point where they need reinforcements, and hopefully in, you know, 2 weeks when they have Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman on the field, that they can be back to their old self, hopefully.
But is the offensive line also kind of complicit in that too? Because it looked to me like Mason got blown up on one of those, and same with Marcus Cannon. I know he's coming back, and maybe there's some rust there.
Yeah, and Dwayne Allen too. Like, it's just been, you know, it's been to this point, it's been sort of the normal that we've seen from them in the first month of the season, where for whatever reason they just don't have the execution down yet. And it gets better. It does. Every single week they will get better from here on out. But like, it, just every play, it was the same thing in the first quarter against the Jaguars the week before, where they had, I don't know, I think I had them for 19 mental or physical errors in the first quarter and like 15 in the last three. I mean, that's just where they are right now, and they just have to coach and play their way out of it, and they do it every single year.
Greg, one final question for you. Rob Gronkowski confirming all the reports over the course of this offseason that there were trade talks he was involved in, and one of those teams was the Lions. Sounds like the Patriots and Lions got close to completing a deal, and Gronkowski got in the way. And I know you've reported on this for months, and a lot of people have reported on this for months. The other part of that story that's been sort of out there is that Brady had also been involved in some sort of threat. Do you believe that to be true? What have you reported on that part of this story?
I don't know specifically who threatened what. I mean, I do know Gronk admitted tonight very quickly, and he was not afraid to be honest about it. It looked like he was glad to say that he threatened retirement and that Tom Brady's his quarterback and then he's linked with Tom Brady. You know, we do know that Gronkowski threatened retirement. As far as Brady, I don't know that for a fact. But yeah, I mean, I've been writing about, you know, for months that, you know, that Gronkowski was likely on the trade block and who were the likely teams, and the Lions were definitely near the top of the list. And, you know, I think it was that press conference that was the impetus. I mean, you know, he needed to clean that up. He finally did. He owned up to it, and you know, things have been okay ever since.
Yeah, and some of this stuff starts to come to a head when the losing begins, Greg. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that Gronk even addressed it, but I think that tells you a lot that he did.
All right, Greg, appreciate the time.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, see you guys.